In our last class, we were looking at the word light, and we saw that how sometimes the word light defines what light does. Sometimes the word light is an example of what the Word of God or what His commandments can and should be to us. We have examples of Jesus and other people being a light. Light is also used sometimes as good versus evil or light versus darkness. So we see that the word can be used in different manners in the Word of God. But when we think about it, we look at what does light do? Okay, just think about it. When you're at night or something, why is it that you turn on the light? You know, okay, to see. It gives you visibility. It helps you to see. Gives clarity to the things that are around us. So, you know, when we looked at what the psalmist said in Psalm 119:105, he described what the light or what the word was to him. He said that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So we can see this idea, you know, this idea of how a light can be, how it gives clarity. And in that case, he was talking about how it would, how he could use that to guide his life, you know. So we can see how we should do things. So let's remember how the word light can be used in that way. And the same.
Not stumble or bump into things. In the dark, you've got to stumble or bump into something.
Yeah. So it gives clarity. Well, concerning the Word of God, if we allow that to be a light to our pathway, it allows us to see and be clear on the things that we should be doing, the life that we should live and stuff like that. And we saw that to the psalmist, because the Word has that ability to all people, but not all people allow it to do that to them. But the psalmist was describing what it was to him. And to us that believe, that's what it should be to us. It should be a light to our path. In a similar way, or the same way, really, we also looked at the idea of the lamp or the light. Let me see exactly how they put it. You wouldn't hide it under the basket. That was the terminology in the verse. You know, it said you wouldn't hide the lamp under the basket. You would put it on a lampstand. So the idea is, you know, because really, if you put it under the basket, what use is it? You're not allowing it to do what it was designed to do. The lamp was, you know, just in a realistic sense, in an everyday sense, what they would use for a lamp is similar. You know, we turn on a light switch. So that is something that just gives visibility, makes you be able to see what's going on. So that if you think of it in that sense, why would you cover it? Why would you hide that lamp? Because then it doesn't allow it to give off the light and give off the clarity and to be able to see.
During the Old Testament in the tabernacle, the lampstand was put and the light was never to go out. It was to burn all the time, and the priest, you know, needed to make sure that it burned all the time. And it was for the priest to be able to do the work that he needed to do. But, you know, we could take that example and not let our light go out either, you know, and not give down or walk in darkness so that it wouldn't shine.
Right. Yes, ma'am. So in the sense of the basket or in that idea, if we hide our light, you know, it can't be helpful. You know, it won't be helpful to others. Do we want to try to make things clear to other people? Do we want to help show them the way? In Matthew 5:16, And that was one of the verses we had looked at, Matthew 5:16. It says to let your light shine before men in such a way. So let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So is that the way that we live? If not, is that something that we're working on? No, because in that verse, in verse 16, to let our light shine in such a way it glorifies the Father. You know, that's talking about honoring Him. Are we honoring Him with the life that we live? Do we live in a way that people see our works? And does our life show that we're different from the world? So that's things that we need to think about. So we left off in our class. It should be about the last part of lesson 5. The blessings in Christ were made known through the gospel story. Let's look over at 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 1:8. We're going to read 8-10. It says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So Paul tells Timothy not to be ashamed of the testimony, of the Lord, or of him, Paul, who was a prisoner. But join in the suffering for the gospel. This God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was granted in Christ Jesus from all eternity. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus. This Savior who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We know that we can overcome sin and death because of our Savior. And this is made known or brought to light by the gospel story. So what does the gospel mean to us? Do we live it as if we believe it? And do we share it with others?
I found it interesting that Paul in 1 Timothy 4:16 told Timothy, as the gospel preacher there at Ephesus, to pay close attention to the teaching, mm-hmm. not only to ensure salvation for himself, but to all those who would hear him. Mm-hmm. So, that's what it does for us, and that's why we need to pay close attention to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's very important. We've seen that it's very important for us to look to God's Word, and it's important for us to live for our, make sure that our own lives are in the manner that they should be, and also that way we're capable in what we're teaching as being the truth. And as we looked at before, as individuals, both those that we're speaking to and as us when we're hearing from other people, the importance is, like the Bereans, they took what they heard with eagerness, but they searched the scriptures to see if it was so. And that's what's very important. We've got to make sure whatever it is that we hear, we've got to, as listeners, we've got to make sure that it is so. If there's not any more comments or anything, we can go over to lesson 6.
Doug, are you going to be cold if I turn this thing on?
No.
Okay, it's getting warm in here to me. So.
Take your coat off.
Do you want to have
it?
I don't think it's working. There we go. That should help some.
Yeah. Okay, so lesson 6. I know on y'all's lesson it's going to start with Ecclesiastes, and we will get there in a moment, but I just had some things that I wanted to talk about before we get there, because this is kind of a changing point in the direction that we've been going. You know, in our other classes, we were focusing mostly on us. And what I mean is that our attitude, or what we should be doing. When we consider our topic, evangelism, we know that it has to do with bringing the message to others. We also saw that not only are we bringing the message to others, but we're trying to do so in a way that allows the message to spread. Our hope is to have others understand their need for Christ and obey His commandments. And we need them to know how to put Him on and to continue to obey. That is to live a life that is pleasing to God. And hopefully grow to where the student becomes a teacher. Remember, we looked at that. That we're supposed to teach in this way, that the student is to grow, and that one day they become the teacher as well. That's how we see the gospel being spread. So remember the ism part when we looked at the word, when we kind of broke it down, evangelism. The ism part of the word, when this process comes to us and our attitude is based on and dedicated to or devoted to God. So we've got to remember the reason why we're doing this, you know, is based, well, it's two part, but you know, it has to do with our love for God, our dedication and devotion to God. And then in that, we also understand the need for others and the situation that they're in. So this is something that we should do, but it also speaks to our attitude that we should want to do. So those were things that we had looked at. Because of our faith and understanding of what God has done for us. So the question is, will we share it? Will we help others to become one that has that dedication? Again, it is up to the individual, but we will we prepare them for... Let me say this again. I'm sorry. I got my words twisted there. But will we prepare them with understanding of their needs so they can make the right decision? And those that do, will we help prepare them to serve and to grow in that service? So that's the idea. Are we willing to, again, teach in that way? We understand that we need to be teaching others or helping others. But it really goes back to our dedication. It goes back to our devotion and our attitude. So, you know, are we really willing to do this? We looked at in one of our other classes, you know, the idea of not just saying, okay, I did it, but we're looking at the outcome. You know, what is the purpose of this teaching? What are we trying to accomplish? So we know the situation that some are in. We're trying to help them overcome that. And in the process, we help them to grow, and then they grow to the ability to become teachers as well. So not only have we helped in the process of one understanding the truth and being able to be saved by that, we also help them in their growth that they can also grow to do the same thing. So we see that idea also in the things that we looked at. So our attitude needs to be based on the outcome that we want to have. We need to put forth the effort and try to teach them. Again, not saying that they're necessarily going to change or believe believe what you've taught, or choose to, even if they do, they might not necessarily choose to live in that way. But we need to teach with the goal of saving. Again, the goal is to save, not to teach with the attitude of showing off our knowledge, because it's been brought up before, you know, the idea of some just want to just show their ability that, almost in a sense, okay, I want them. And that's the wrong attitude, because what we're striving to do. We're striving to be able to help them in their understanding and for the purpose of salvation. So again, our attitude towards them is very important. Sir, I'm sorry, say it again.
At the same time, it's kind of like recruiting, too.
In a sense.
And most of the time, it's not that hard, because people who obey the gospel are so happy, they want to share it with them. They want to share it with their loved ones, they want to care about them. So okay. They have the attitude of teaching already. Maybe they have some things overcome to do it, but it becomes natural for them to overcome those because of it. Enthusiasm they have at the time, you know.
Okay.
Of course, the same time, maybe that enthusiasm dwells a little bit, but that's part of the process of working with them, and I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, so that's why it's important to
build themselves up and continue to own that enthusiasm and teach them.
Yeah, because I mean, well, first off, on the idea of recruiting, I know what you mean by that, but we got to make sure when we're doing that, again, back to what we've talked about with the idea of, I don't remember how we worded it, but, pre-selecting candidates and stuff like that. Because we need to remember, this is for all that will believe. And I know you didn't mean it that way. I'm just saying that. So in that sense, we just got to be careful that it's. I mean, it's for all who will believe, and that will trust upon it. But yes, definitely. You know, once they've learned a lot, most of the time. I mean, like what you're talking about is the zeal that they have, especially a new Christian and stuff, and they're wanting to learn. But we've got to be helpful in that, and because not just them, ourselves and people that have been students for 30, 40 years, we can all have a misunderstanding of things. So, that's why it's important for all of us to grow. So we can continue to grow where we're more helpful at whatever state that we're at. And we can encourage the others and help them to grow. And because, even if you've known the gospel for a while, you're encouraged by the growth of the younger Christians, too, because of what they're doing and willing to do and stuff. So,
the attitude should be open to the point that even though you are in a gospel, there may be something you might know is wrong.
Yes.
That you may need to change.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, so we should always be open to just we need to look to the scripture to see what it says. Yes, sir, Craig.
When I was a teenager and for the first time visiting East Texas, I remember it was kind of funny when I heard a gentleman pray, Lord, help us to get to heaven and to take as many of us with us as we can. You know, the imagery that came to mind was like we could just bring people into heaven or something. But,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of a good attitude to have, and that's the attitude that Paul was showing when he was talking to King Agrippa, you know, and to Festus and all the governors. And he said you know, he would hope that he would obey the word of the Christ, and anybody that heard his voice would obey too, and that should be our attitude. So, as if we're shining as a light for people, we ought to try to take more opportunity so that anyone that's out there that has a heart to listen can be there for them to teach.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Look at the example of the Samaritan woman. She heard about Christ. What did she do? She ran right back to town, told everyone about it. Is that our attitude?
Right.
You know, do we value our salvation? Look at it as a great pearl. Christ said that God's kingdom is a great pearl. He sold everything he had just to buy this pearl. Is that how we think about our salvation? Do we have that enthusiasm? Because, you know, that comes up, pours out of us. People will sense that. People will sense, you know, there's something different for the way you live, what you're living for, what your goal is. Is it earthly things, or is it things in heaven?
Right. Good points. Yeah, because, you know, when they see that in us, when they see what's driving us, that's very important. And again, also, like we looked at in the past, not only our example, because you know, I know I'm guilty when sometimes our example does allow a door to open, and sometimes we even pray, you know, for a doorway to speak to other people, and that door's open right there in front of us sometimes. And maybe we don't see it, I don't know, but a lot of times we don't take that opportunity. And I'm guilty, you know. So that's just one thing that we've got to think about. And it all, you know, it's a combination of our attitude. We can even have the right attitude, and maybe there's areas we need to grow at. You know, growing again, like we talked about, growing our ability, and not just our ability with our knowledge, because, you know, you could know everything you need to say, but if you can't get past your uncomfortableness, I don't know the best any other way to really put that, if you can't get past not being able to speak to other people, then it's really going to be hard to use all that knowledge, at least in that way. So that's another thing, you know, that we looked at, growing our ability to talk to other people. And, you know, like we mentioned before, us men on Wednesdays, if the elders ask us to serve in that manner, you know, doing like a Wednesday close, or really in other stuff that we do where we're leading, you know, think of, they're using their wisdom in that. You know, think of what can happen by you doing that. Because people that aren't used to being up in front of people, and they might still feel uncomfortable, but it helps them the more that they do things. And I know that as good students, when we have a challenge like that, as far as like doing a Wednesday close, we might not feel comfortable. But I know we look to the Word and we try to really prepare ourselves. So, you know, and that helps us, because we know that the teacher, when we're teaching class or whatever it is, if we're even a short little 5-minute Wednesday close, because we know it took a lot more than 5 minutes to prepare that 5 minute talk. But that's your benefits. Not the only person. Hopefully with what we have to say benefits the other people as well. But we see how that too can benefit the teacher. So just things to think about. So hopefully I'm not about to repeat myself. I think I left off here. Our attitude. Nope, I am going to repeat myself. Let's see. Again, the goal is to save, not to teach with an attitude of showing off our knowledge. And what I mean is not just to convince to, like what you said, to whoop them, and an attitude of one understanding the position that they're in. And remember, you know, because we're talking about the position that they're in, but this is a position that we too were once in. So we, in that sense, remember where we came from, and use that if possible to help other people. So we know we are to love God and love our neighbor, the two greatest commandments, and we looked at who our neighbor is. And yes, it would include the guy next door, but that's not what it's talking about. We see the idea really as mankind, and what our attitude towards others should be in this aspect. The neighbor was the one that they said was considered the neighbor, was the one that showed mercy to the guy that had been beaten, remember? He was the one that rendered aid, overlooking the differences. You know, he overlooked the differences, the Samaritans and the Jew, and he answered a need. So, can we do that? Can we overlook our differences to answer a need? We better. Again, the gospel is for all that will trust in it.
Did it seem like that he didn't really know any differences at first? I mean,
I'm sorry, say it again?
It doesn't seem as though the Samaritan knew any differences in him and the guy he was helping. He was somebody there on the side of the road, he was helping the other.
Well, his actions would kind of speak that at least he wasn't going to treat him as if he was different. But I think the whole idea behind the story,
right,
is that there was a great difference. You know, I think that's why the way it starts out, it implies that these were Jews and this is a Samaritan. And we know the differences that they had. But you know, and it even said, well, a priest walked by and a Levite walked by, and then this Samaritan, he's the one that helped him. So I think that's the kind of the purpose in the way that this was worded. So what are our abilities? Do we use them to teach others, and are we trying to grow them? We just kind of looked at that. We need to grow to be servants that we need to be and to live as we should. And remember, part of serving God is helping His cause. Do we live the life that shows we understand His ways? Are we the example and the light to the world that we need to be? Could our life lead others to question theirs? And when the example leads to an opportunity, are we prepared to take it? We need to grow in our ability to teach others. Remember, you ought to be teachers by now, speaking about our growth. And we understand that in the pattern that we see, the way that we kind of just looked at, how this gospel is spread and how we're to grow. So we need to grow to be helpful, to be teaching in that sense, whatever ability we have. And most importantly, what like we've already said, in order to teach others, what we need to be using is God's Word, because that's what we're trying to teach them about. Not just think so's, not just what grandma said or what the preacher said. It needs to be what God said. And remember, we talked about that before. Not saying that what grandma said or what the preacher said is necessarily wrong. It depends on where did they get it. Did they get it from the Word of God? So again, what we hear, we have to test it to what the Word of God says. We should take what we hear and see what it says. And you know, keep in mind when we're talking to other people that there are many of those whose beliefs are based on this very type of thing. We talked about in our last class this idea of traditions. So we need to be able to show them from scriptures, point them to it, have them to read it. You know, because like, pardon me. Like we said in the other class, people have been taught a certain thing, no matter what it is. You know, as far as their understanding in the Word, and so the way that we're going to be able to overcome that, or to be able to convince them, is. Because again, this might be just something they've heard from their preacher. And a lot of times people say, you know, well, that's, to them, that's enough. To them, it's like, oh, well, my preacher said. Well, you know, we're all going to have to answer for ourselves. So we need to be able to know for ourselves, and we should want to know. But the problem is a lot of people just take stock in what other people had said. And again, it can be from their ignorance, not recognizing their accountability or whatever. So that's where it's very important when we are speaking to other people. Again, remember the attitude we're supposed to have towards them. And that also we too once didn't know the truth. And if we think about that, we should be thankful for those that have helped us. And this gives us opportunity to be that person to somebody. But the way that we're going to do that is if we take the things that maybe we don't agree on or whatever it is, we can't just tell them. And what I mean by that is it's going to be more powerful if we can point them to the scripture that answers that question. Yeah, let them see it. Yeah, give them clarity. Huh? So, but let them read it for themselves. Let them decide what that means. That's very important. But on the flip side of that, if that's what we're going to do, then again, that speaks to our growth. We're going to have to be able to know where to show them. So we're going to have to grow, you know, to be able to show them the verses that will be helpful to them. So again, like we spoke about, we're all at different levels. But it's all going to go back to our attitude. What are we willing to do? Are we going to try to grow? You know, even let's say we reach full capacity in our growth. It's not going to happen, but let's just say that you do. You know, that's still what the goal needs to be as far as growing in that sense. You know, So even at our full capacity, we might not be where somebody else is. And that doesn't matter. What needs to matter is, are we using what we have? Remember, we looked at the parable of the talents, what the guys were given. When it talked about the, was it the two or three talent? I'm getting it mixed up here. Three talent guy, and the five talent. The emphasis wasn't on the amount of talents, not necessarily. Because when you see the outcome of the two guys that were doing what they were supposed to do, it was their attitude towards what they were doing was the emphasis. And, you know, how they were willing to use that ability. The one talent guy is the one that, you know, displeased the master because he was lazy. Said that he was wicked. You know, he wasn't willing to do anything with what he was given. So that tells us that, you know, in our abilities, they might not be in the same level. But are we using those abilities, number one? Are we trying to improve? You know, are we trying to grow in that matter? And, you know, this idea of being around one another, that helps us in this. That helps us in our growth. We talked about that. It encourages us, number one, and strengthens us, but it also helps us in our growth because some of this growth we wouldn't necessarily do on our own, even if we studied all the time. You know, because we introduce things or what that might help one another to grow, things that we might not have thought of on our own. But again, everything that we hear and stuff, we need to check it to God's Word. So this was a quick review of the things that we looked at. And because what we've looked at in the past classes was mainly on about us or our attitude. And I kind of want to change gears and look from their perspective. You know, those that we're trying to teach. Let's look at the subject in a way that helps us know where to start or what questions we need to be able to answer for them. Remember what we already talked about. You know, we talked about at one point that we need to start where people are in the release. But maybe the people we're talking to already have an understanding and belief of where we're starting right here today. But keep in mind that there's going to be many that need to start right at this very point that we're about to make. And even if they don't, you know, reminding them of this very point we're about to look at is beneficial. It's beneficial to us. Because we're going to look in probably our next class, this idea of being reminded about things. So it's, you know, we're never at a point in our knowledge that we shouldn't be looking at things that we already know. Because we know it's beneficial to us. We are going to start in Ecclesiastes 3, but I think I only have about 1 minute. So let's go ahead and just mark that there, and we will pick up there in the next class.